Wednesday night service. How's everybody doing? Doing all right? Good, good. Or I forget. That's somebody else. Got these fall-like conditions. Wonderful, wonderful. I'm ready for fall. Y'all ready for fall? And enjoy some cool mornings and mild afternoons. So looking forward to the fall time. And we will go ahead and jump right into things tonight as we normally do with our prayer request and praise aspect of our service. And let me just say that I was scheduled to preach over at Grace as I normally do, at least once a month. I was scheduled for the Wednesday after next, and still scheduled, but got a call last night at 10:30, and Brother Brian, he was under the weather. He was on the schedule for tomorrow down there, and so we preached this morning down there and had a good time and really connecting with the young people. But we had a good time this morning with that, and I just wanted to share that with you. It's always a good time preaching to the young people. And again, we're going to be back over there the Wednesday after next, so remember us then if you would. All right, continue to remember Miss Mary Kelly in your prayers. Miss Glenda just told me our brother Tandy is doing good. He's home. And
it's a very diseased gallbladder, but he's doing very well. I said he feels 100% better.
That is wonderful, wonderful.
Thank God for prayers. Just continue to pray for you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, the Lord can do it. He can see you through it. So we praise the Lord for that. Also, Miss BJ just mentioned to me, she talked with Miss Claudia. And Miss Claudia's great-grandchild has a heart condition, I believe, was diagnosed. Something going on with their heart, with the child's heart. And so she's pretty shooken up about this. So let's remember her tonight, the child. Do we know the name of the child?
Harry.
I'm sorry?
Harry.
Okay. That's a girl? Okay. So let's remember her tonight, the child and Miss Claudia as well. Let's remember our children's home, Brother Harold. Let's remember the Palmers, Miss Dolores, as she continues to recover. Of course, Miss Connie Norton, as I don't believe she's been back since she's had her heart condition. And so
I was over last week.
Really?
She looks like she's
wow. Let's remember her and her heart condition, Miss Connie Norton, in our prayers. And Brother Jeff's sister-in-law, Angie, with her heart trouble. Several with heart trouble tonight, so let's remember these. And it's good to see Brother Jeff's back is doing better. Back up with the guitar tonight. And so that is a blessing. I was thinking if he was going to be down another Wednesday, I may have to try to learn Mary Had a Little Lamb or something. And I think I can get a couple of strokes on the guitar with that one. But we appreciate you, Brother Jeff, Miss Sharon. Let's remember Don and Carla Rich. They'll be coming home soon. When will they officially? They're going to Texas first, right? For the Bible. I thought they were going to a Bible conference.
They are, but they're going to be here first, October 16th.
Okay. All right. So looking forward to that. Actually, I got Brother Don going to be preaching on a Sunday night for us. I want to say November 4th, something like that. Something close to that. And I guess after that, then they'll be going to their conference. And but anyway, it's gonna be good to catch up with them. Randy and Diane Ely, the Daleys, the Ashworths, all of our shut-ins, including Barbara Anderson, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, James Tolan Brown, which is in the Marines, and Kevin Brook, Champion Christian College. so let's remember them. Does anyone have a request, an update, Brother David? Yeah, it is. Let's remember this family tonight. And this is tragic, to say the least. Tragic. Hassan? Okay, thank you for sharing that. We'll remember her. Anyone else? Thank you for sharing that. And it's Barbara's birthday next Thursday. Anyone else? All right. Well, just grab yourself a bulletin. If you don't have one already, just staying in tune with everything that's going on around here. And again, we have our church yard sale that is scheduled for Saturday, October the 21st. It's going to be from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And again, just reemphasizing that the earnings from that will go for the painting of this hallway and any further church upgrades we're going to do. And this will be a time of outreach. Reach out to those that come, invite them to church, and feed them as well. And so it's going to be a great time. Looking forward to that. And so just still moving forward. You've got to keep moving forward or you'll be going backwards. So trying to move forward. And so we're looking forward to that. And again, just grab your bulletin and be in touch and in tune with what's going on with that. All right, anybody else before we pray tonight? All right. Well, all that would, meet us in the altar and pray. Or you can sit there where you're. Appreciate that, Brother Jeff. Before we get started, I just wanted to remind everyone that we're going to be out of town from this Saturday till next Saturday, and I've got Brother Allen covering Sunday morning and Brother CJ Sunday night, and so just wanted to share that little bit of information with you. And Psalm 37 tonight, Psalm 37, I've had verse number 1 through 7 on my heart this week and have been unable to go in any other direction than this direction. And I look back on my notes and it's been about a year since I've shared these verses. And from time to time it does as well to revisit certain places in the Bible. Of course, it's good to revisit the whole Bible any place, but there are some certain places that are close to my heart, that is specifically these verses have been close and near to my heart this week, and so I want to share Psalm 37, verse number 1 through 7 with you tonight. Let's bow for a quick word of prayer, and then we will introduce the subject matter. Father, we come one more time in Jesus' name tonight. Thank you for this wonderful group of believers, Lord. I pray, Father, you'll bless them for their efforts in coming. Bless those that are watching on Facebook, may even be listening audibly on our church webpage, God, or even the radio station we have. Father, strengthen your people, encourage all of us tonight. And I pray that by the time we leave, we will have a little more better direction in life, maybe, and even be a better Christian by the time that we leave. We love you tonight, and we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen and amen. Before we read, of course, we know that David is the author here, and the inscription below the chapter in a lot of Bibles has the inscription of the writer. It says a Psalm of David. So David's the author here, and he is an older man. I know that because verse 25 says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Some of you tonight, well, all of you were younger at one point in your life, and now you're older. And I'm sure you could say the same thing that David says. I was once a younger person, now I'm an older person, and God's been faithful. I'm sure you all could say that. I could say that. So David here is writing down some words of wisdom. He is writing some basic words that benefited his life, some words he put into action. And he wrote them down so that we all could benefit from these simple words of wisdom. These are things that he learned in his own personal lifetime. And so he shares it in this chapter. He uses the whole book talking about the wicked and the wicked's prosperity. He also talks about the righteous and their poverty. It seems like in the eyes of the world and in the world, it seems like the wicked are prospering, doesn't it? We watch the news and they move forward with their agendas and their things, their programs. That is, those who are not of the faith. And it seems like that the righteous, those who live for God and try to do right, are suffering and are in poverty of some kind. Verse number 16 says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. So this verse implies prosperity of the wicked, poverty of the righteous, but saying that having a little being righteous is better than having a lot and being unrighteous. And so David is talking about these things. David also spends a great deal of time encouraging the believers in this chapter concerning the wicked and their prosperity and our future. Verse number 28 says, "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints." Praise the Lord for that. "They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever." Then, of course, verse number 10, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be." Verse 11, "But the meek shall inherit the earth." That's us. "The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." And so he's talking about this prosperity of the wicked and the poverty of the righteous. And David says, you need to cast your eyes a little bit higher. Get your eyes from a horizontal viewpoint to a vertical viewpoint. And that can definitely change things. David also gives us some instruction as we experience similar situations in life. David gives us four words in our verses tonight that I want to cover. And these words are great words. These words are words of wisdom. And these words should always be remembered all the times and at any time. In fact, this evening I want to talk about this subject: simple words yet difficult words. Simple words yet difficult words. I want to begin reading in verse number 1, and then I'll mention the words and we'll go over these four words. In verse number 1, Psalm 37, he says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." That's going to be our reading this evening, verse number 1 down through verse number 7. Again, four words I want to mention. The first word is in verse number 3. It's the word trust. The second word is in verse number 4, and that's the word delight. The third word is the word commit in verse 5. And then the fourth word is the word rest in verse number 7. And these are simple words, yet difficult words. They are simple in nature, yet very complex living out. But yet David pins these down by the moving of God for us to read tonight and benefit from. Let's look at the first word. And that's in verse number 3. That's the word trust. Notice what he says again in verse 3. He says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." There's the word trust. What does the word trust mean to you? Well, the word trust in this verse, it's defined as placing your confidence in another. It means to have faith in. And the question tonight, has Jesus been faithful to us? I can say, yes, he has. He's been faithful to all of us. And so tonight we can trust him. We can place our total confidence in Jesus because he's a faithful Jesus. Now, let me give you a silly little illustration to prove my point here, or to explain my point. If you were to go to Kroger tonight looking for eggs, You go to Kroger sometimes looking for eggs. Sometimes the eggs are there, and sometimes the eggs are not there. You wouldn't have much confidence in looking for eggs at Kroger, would you? No, you wouldn't, because hit and miss, sometimes yes, sometimes no. But if you were to go to Publix and they had eggs every single time, well, the takeaway from that would be, well, I can trust Publix because they always have eggs, but I can't trust Kroger because sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. Now, no knock on Kroger tonight. We're not talking about our favorite grocery stores. And so, silly illustration, but I can trust in Publix. I can put my eggs in the basket when it comes to Publix. Air quotes. I can trust in Publix because they got what I need. Kroger doesn't. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Now, tonight we're talking about trusting in Jesus, and truly Jesus can be trusted. He embodies everything that we need. We can even tell our friends he can be trusted. How many times has the Lord came through for you in your life? I mean, came down to the wire, and you needed him to move in your behalf and on your behalf, and he did. Well, guess what? Jesus can be trusted. And so the Bible tells us that we can put all of our eggs in one basket with the Lord. He says, trust in the Lord. David says, I was once young in my life, and I walked with God, I talked with God, I led sheep, I fought giants, and God has been there for me each and every time. I'm an old man now, and I can say he is trustworthy. So David says, place your confidence in the Lord. So tonight, I don't know what you may be going through, what you may be experiencing, or you may just need to lay this up in your mind and heart for a future event. But whatever it is, he is trustworthy. They print on the dollar bills and the coins, "In God we trust." Well, there's a reason for that, because down through the ages of time, God has proven that he's trustworthy. And so trust in the Lord and do good. Place your confidence in him and continue to do right. He says, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So trust in him, and he will meet your needs. I like what Galatians 6:9 says. Paul, the writer there, says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That's just telling us that God knows what we need. Keep working hard. Keep living for him. Keep praying. Keep reading your Bible. Keep attending church. Keep walking the straight and narrow. Keep, again, just living for the Lord. Trust in him. He will meet your need sooner or later. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So we see that the first word that is simple yet difficult is the word trust. It's not easy always trusting in someone you cannot see, is it? Oh, it's difficult at times. But nonetheless, that's the way through this walk of life, is trusting in God. Notice, if you would, verse number 4. There's the word delight. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. This is one of those verses that's been misquoted and misappropriated. Someone said, well, Brother Justin, does that mean if I want a brand new Mustang, you know, pocket full of money, big house, boat, all the rest? Bible says, if I delight myself in him, he'll give me the desires of my heart. Well, that's the desires of my heart. Well, I've been wanting a Mustang for a long time. I don't have that Mustang yet. Does that mean there's I've found fault with the Lord? No, it doesn't mean that. So what does this verse mean? Well, the word delight here, it means to satisfy thyself with. It means to content thyself. And so David is saying that through his walk of life, from young to old, he says that I've had plenty. I've had a little, I've been up, I've been down, but I've learned to find my contentment in Jesus because he's my provider. But that word delight also means not only to satisfy thyself, content thyself, but it also means pliable or capable of being shaped, led, or directed. You see, there may be a direction God may be wanting to take us in, and if we're not open-minded about it, then we're not going to receive all that God wants us to receive. I like what Job said in Job 23, verse 16. Job said, "For God maketh my heart soft." And so certainly you know the story of Job and everything he went through. It wasn't something he would have chosen, to lose his family and substance and all of those things. But yet God softened his heart so that God can do a great work through him and blessed him with double in the end, by the way. And so he says, delight thy, content yourself in the Lord. The Bible says, Paul speaking in the book of Philippians, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Paul says the object of our rejoicing ought to be Jesus. Why is that? Because Jesus never changes. Our circumstances change, people change, but Jesus never changes. So he says, focus, zero, laser beam in, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Focus on him, content yourself in him, and he will take care of you. So delight, make yourself pliable, be open-minded about what the Lord may have in your life. Be loose and limber. I think about the potter and the clay. I think about the clay wheel. And I think about the lump of clay that's laying there and how that the potter, he has to first smash the clay and get it, you know, pliable. He squeezes it and just gets it loose and limber. Without the pounding of the fist, without the moving of the hands of the potter to limber it up, it's not pliable. So it has to be smushed, has to be squashed. To get it to a place of becoming what the potter wants it to be. Many times in life, that's our situation. Sometimes we have to be smushed. Not that God has a heavy hand of anger upon us, but he has a plan for us. And if we're not open to God's will, sometimes he will smush and smash, but he'll get us to a place where he can start molding and shaping us. And so we find delight in the Lord because he knows the way, and we may not know the way. We all have experienced life. We've done without. We've done with plenty. We've been up. We've been down, just like David. And yet we find out that Jesus is always the same. We can trust in him. We can delight ourselves in him. We can content ourselves in him because he changes not. David also said, Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We preached Sunday morning on marks of maturity. And one of those points had to do with being patient. And we know that in James, he speaks of that. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, lacking nothing. Not perfect, sinless, but mature, content. And so these things happen in life. It's when the Lord, he begins to make us pliable with hardships and struggles come and setbacks, and the Lord's not being mean. Again, he's not expressing anger. He's just trying to conform us to the image of his son. He's trying to get us to a place where we trust in him, where we say, Lord, I give up and let you take the steering wheel. I can't help to think about that song by Carrie Underwood. Jesus, take the wheel. I love that song to this day. I tell you right now, that song makes me cry. I mean, really. How many times have we tried to steer our way through life and, you know, we think we know the way to go and we try to handle stuff. Maybe even we have good intentions trying to handle our life and trying to go the right way. But eventually we get to the place where we're like, Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hands. Am I the only person who's been there before? I'm sure you have, you know. I believe a couple of times today I had to say, Jesus, take the wheel, and with some things on my mind. But you know, if you're driving down the road, don't say, Jesus, take the wheel. You don't want him to take the physical wheel. So we don't want to let him take that wheel. But delight thyself also in the Lord. But what about that second part? And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Well, the idea is this. When we surrender to him, Jesus, take the wheel. His hands are on the wheel. He begins to steer our lives in certain areas and directions. And as we begin to be led by God, we desire what he desires. And so basically, when we delight ourselves in him, he begins to birth desires in our hearts to do certain things. Have you ever had the urge one day to just call a friend and check on them just to see how they're doing? An urge to just call somebody up that you know that's struggling and pray for them? Have you ever had an urge to do a work in a church, or you ever had an urge to do, you know, something for the Lord and the good of man? Well, many times that's the Lord urging you. For it is God, the Bible says, that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so God begins to birth in our hearts what he wants us to do. I remember when I got saved, November 19th, 2002, and met Christy about the end of 2004, going into 2005. And from 2002 to 2005, I wrestled with preaching. I wrestled with it. I felt like everybody wanted to do it. Newly saved, I felt like everybody wanted to jump behind the pulpit and preach. You know, so I didn't think anything of it. But the more I read, the more I wanted to share. And I felt like I couldn't do it. And I just, so that set me back a long time. I just wrestled. I can't do it. One day I met Brother Berman at the altar, went down there. I said, Brother Berman, I can't do it. I'm wrestling with preaching. He said, of course you can't do it. He said, I've been preaching here almost 30 years and I still can't do it. He was a great preacher. So that didn't make sense to me. He said, you either surrender to what the Lord has for you and allow him to do great things with your life, or you keep fighting it. And so I realized that Brother Berman, he trusted the Lord. He knew he was incapable, but he also knew with God's ability, he was capable. And it was an amazing thing. And it was on that day, 2005, within 2005, I surrendered. I said, sink or swim, I'm diving in. And I said that to say this, that 20 years later, thereabouts, still preaching and pastoring and those kind of things, this isn't something that I chose. I've been drafted. God drafted me. He drafts his children into service. And so I have nothing to boast of today. I have nothing to brag of today. A lot of the times after I get through preaching or teaching, I always critique myself. There's something I should have said better. There's something I should have left out. I mispronounced the word. One preacher said, I believe it may have been Billy Sunday. He said, someone asked him, what's your best sermon you've ever preached? He said, my next one. And so this truly has everything to do with just contenting ourselves with the Lord, finding satisfaction with him, saying, God, I'm the clay, you're the potter, have your way with me. David says, that's what I've learned in my life. Now, this is a simple word, but it's difficult to do. But it's the right thing to do. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. And so we see the second word, delight. But then there's a third word. Look in verse number 5, very next verse. Then there's the word commit. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The word commit, you know, is a dirty word. Commitment. In order to get something done and reap the full benefits of something, we've got to be committed. Commitment is called the dirty word because it requires something of us. That word commit there, it means to roll. It's committing your path to Him. It's rolling thy way upon Him. Whatever's on your path you're dealing with, David tells us here from experience to roll it over on Jesus. Commit thy way. Whatever it is that's in your way, what's in your way tonight? You don't answer, but what's standing in your way? Is there something standing in your path that's bothering you? Is there something in your pathway? Is there a lion in your pathway? Preached at Grace this morning, went through the life of Samson, and I talked about that young lion. Samson was going through the vineyard there at Timnath, and there was a young lion in his path. He rent it to pieces. He tore it apart. What's in your path tonight that you're dealing with? What is it that's troubling you or something you can't get through? Are you tired of dealing with it? Are you tired of the anxiety that follows? Are you just sick and tired of being sick and tired? Oftentimes, that's the place that God wants us to get to before we can fully roll that thing on Him. I know when I deal with stuff, I mull over it. I mean, I think about it. I think about it so much, my head spins in circles. I ram my head against the wall, figuratively, trying to figure out a way and trying to just work my way through it in my thought life. And finally, I say, Lord, I can't do it. I'm not going to quit life, but at the same time, I cannot press through this. I can't figure the way through this. Can't figure it out. So, God, I roll it off of me on you. I believe the last time I preached this, I used the bowling ball illustration. The bowling ball. You know, rolling your burden on the Lord, committing your way to God is like going bowling. My grandmother, the one that comes here on Sunday mornings, my grandparents, she used to be a bowler. I'm pretty sure she was a bowler at one time. I know that because I went bowling. And used to love going bowling. I like to go bowling now. So you get that bowling ball, you pick it out. And I like the, really any color. One of my favorite colors is blue, but when it comes to bowling balls, there's something about an electric blue that I like. And so you get that ball, and here's the bowling lane. You look at it, get that bowling ball, you take a couple steps, and you drop it. Bowling ball just curves, and you know what the goal is to get a strike. There's probably been a few times in my life where I got a turkey. Is that what they call three strikes in a row, a turkey? Hey, call it a chicken, I don't care. But you have it, the ball's heavy, and you roll it. You watch it. You let it go. And so in like manner, and in the picture given to this, many times, that's what it's like. Roll that burden on the Lord. Give Him that thing. You wore yourself out with it. Day in, day out. Just sometimes you got to go bowling several times a day. Sometimes I go bowling several times a day spiritually. I take that thought, I roll it on the Lord, and no time. There it is again. It's back. Get that thought, roll it on the Lord. There it is again. And you know, several times a day, you may have to roll your burden on the Lord. I like the group, the McCammies. McCammies, they sang a song called Roll Your Burden on the Lord. I love that old-fashioned song. Just talks about rolling your stress on the Lord, rolling that thing that's weighing you down on the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You say, wait a minute, Brother Justin. No, I understand that God is concerned about, you know, the burden I'm carrying, but surely he don't know anything about this kind of burden, or surely He couldn't help out with this burden. I beg to differ. Any burden, any care, nobody may understand you. It may seem foreign, but the Bible says casting all, that word all means every care. God knows about it anyway. He says, what you care about, I care about, so I want you to cast all your care. The thing that you're struggling with mentally, the thing that you're struggling with physically, the thing you're struggling with financially, in every area that's driving you crazy, he says, give it to me. And I want to tell you tonight, we have to. Because the very next verse says, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so the devil is on the prowl when you're vulnerable, when you're weak, when you're dealing with all this stuff. The devil is just waiting to pounce upon you and me and try to devour what little bit of strength we got left. And so Jesus says, Peter says, Jesus says, cast all your care upon him. Psalm 55, verse number 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. And so there's the word commit tonight. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. And trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. What about the next word? Skip down to verse number 7, if you would. Verse 7, there's the word rest. Who in here likes rest? In fact, 2 or 3 hours from now, I'm going to be resting real good. I love rest. I need rest. You do too. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. There's the fourth word is rest with a potential fifth word actually in this verse. He says rest. That word rest, it means to stop. Stop. Rest. Be still and know that I'm God. I don't know if you remember or not, but it's probably been a year. We had the Psalm 46, 10 challenge. One day I was sitting out on my back porch. And the place where I like to go, back patio, got a porch swing and a table and some chairs. And I was struggling trying to clear my head. I was trying to prepare for church, trying to seek the Lord's will for what sermon to bring on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I was struggling to get my mind clear. Anybody ever struggle with that, trying to get your mind clear? And so I thought about this verse, be still and know that I'm God. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, please allow me to just for 60 seconds, not think about anything. I don't tell you, that's hard to do. I mean, you almost got to focus on, I had to focus on a tree in the backyard. I mean, for not to think about it, because my mind, it was wanting to go, I mean, it was thinking about this, wanting to think about that. I just kept just looking at that tree. I mean, it is hard to do. But he tells us, in essence, I just want you to be still. I want you to rest. I want you to stop. I want you to cease from all efforts and just allow me to be God. Trust in me. Be still and know. And know. We know that he's God when we're still. Isn't that what happened to Moses? You know the story. He's at the Red Sea and Pharaoh and the men was on his back, couldn't go to side or left or the right, children of Israel there. He told them to be still and see the salvation of the Lord. God opened up those waters, and they walked through on dry ground, closed them up, and the horse and his rider was sank. All the people, all the enemies of God sank that day, drowned, and it happened because they remained still. Sometimes we just got to be still. So we see that that word rest, it means to stop or to cease from all efforts. Elijah was another one in the Old Testament. He looked for the Lord. He listened for the Lord in the wind and the lightning, the earthquake, trying to listen for God and all the big things. And it was after all of those big flashy things that he was listening for the Lord in that the Bible says there was a still small voice. God is in the quietness. We've got to get quiet before God. We've got to get still. Go in the backyard. If you got a back porch patio, go out there. Go in the front. Just go to that quiet place where you can quiet your soul. And I challenge you again for 60 seconds. don't think about anything. Just try to clear your mind. The Psalm 46:10 challenge. If we trust God with our salvation, let us trust Him with our struggles. Pray and give it to God. Rest, and then just see what happens. And so rest. Again, simple word, difficult to do. Commit, simple word, difficult to do. Delight, trust. All these are simple words, but difficult to do. I do want to mention a fifth word. I said four, but maybe five. Look at verse 7 again. Rest in the Lord and wait. Wait patiently for Him. Again, last Sunday morning we talked a little bit about being patient. And patience comes through waiting. Patience comes through waiting. If you are at a place of waiting, and there are some prayers that need to be answered and they're not being answered right now, there are some things lingering. It may be that this waiting stage, God is stretching your patience because you need it for something down the road. But that word wait, it means to twist or whirl. And it's through the idea of a rag being twisted. Growing up, my grandfather made it clear that was kitchen was his kitchen. I lived with him, my brother did too, for many years. Of course, he knew it was my grandmother's kitchen, but he said it was his kitchen. And I remember my grandfather always washing dishes. And he would ask, you know, I said one time, why don't we get a dishwasher, Paul? He says, well, we got a house full of dishwashers. Why we need to buy one? But I remember that old dish rag. He'd use and he'd scrub. And grandmother would use and scrub. Even growing up, use and scrub. Now they got, you know, sponges and wands and soap dispensers in the handle and all those things. But you get that dish rag, what do you do at the very end? Squeeze it, lay it out. Some people may just throw it to sink. But you get it, you wring it out, you just wring it, twist it, you whirl it. Just wring everything out that's on the inside. Open it up, lay it over the faucet, let it dry. I can remember that just like it was yesterday. I use a sponge today, a wand with liquid in it. We got a dishwasher at home, but for some reason I just don't use it. I guess I'm so trained by my grandpa, I just hand wash everything. Maybe one day I'll use it. But in like manner, David says, you know, I was young, now I'm old. He says, there were times in my life where situations were just wringing me out. Everything on the inside was screaming. Oh, I wanted things to be different. Being chased by the enemy, facing giants, leading sheep, all these things. He said, I was just being wrung out, just twisting, and whirling everything. God, through waiting, is literally just trying to get out all of the self that's in us so that we can trust in Him. And again, patience comes through waiting. So that word wait is exactly what it means. It means to twist or whirl. He says, rest in the Lord and wait. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And again, that word wait, it's a simple word, difficult to do. That's the lesson tonight, just simple words, yet difficult words. And I hope by reviewing these words again, like I said a moment ago, we went over these a time or two in the past year, but they just do so much for me, these words do. And hopefully that were a blessing to you tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for all things. Thank you for the truth of your word, Lord. I pray that we would take these familiar verses home and just let them sit upon our hearts. Let us meditate on these words. Let us trust in you. Simple word, trust is just difficult to do. Thank you for the crowd tonight. I pray you bless them and all their efforts. Get us home safely. Lord, we pray for Sunday services here, that your hand will be upon Brother Allen, and your hand will be upon Brother CJ, and we pray that souls will be saved and lives, Christian lives will be encouraged. We love you tonight, and we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, anything to mention? Everybody good?